Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
With Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk.
Welcome back to Blue Jays Nation Radio, episode 34. As always, well, not actually as always, this is usually Tyler doing this, but he decided I don't want to be here for the Blue Jays homecoming. I'm going to go into the woods, wander around, disappear for the most exciting part of the Blue Jays season. So it's me, Cam Lewis, and I've got Paul Berthelot with me. Paul, how's it going?
It's going good. I can't believe Tyler missed this. Like, what's he doing? He picked a hell of a time to go on vacation. Hey, what's wrong with you?
It's nuts. He went on vacation, so he's gone for like 10 days in total, and during his vacation, he was gone for the Blue Jays homecoming, the MLB trade line, the NHL expansion draft, the NHL free agency period. It was just like, dude, what are you doing? How did you plan that?
I don't know if you've any NBA fans, but there's NBA draft too. There's just a ton of stuff going on. This is the worst time to go on vacation. Tyler, what are you doing?
And all this guy's been doing the whole time is just like sitting on his phone, posting on Twitter, watching sports happening unfold from the woods. He missed. Both of us were there this weekend. It was fantastic.
We were there, yeah.
He missed an unbelievably good weekend. This was a long time in the waiting. The Blue Jays came back home and played in Toronto for the first time since September 2019. Played what felt like a meaningful game for the first time since, let's be honest, like the 2016 American Championship Series.
Yeah, and that's what the atmosphere felt like. That was a playoff-type atmosphere. Even though it was only 15,000 people there, that building was rocking. Like, we were both a part of that crowd. That was a really, really cool experience to be a part of. I really, really enjoyed it.
It was, to be completely honest, also the Friday night game specifically. I mean, I think once you got to Saturday, Sunday, it was a little bit more toned down. Like, it was still like a really good atmosphere, but the Friday night was like an emotional night. Like, they did. They pulled out the huge flag for Canada. I remember they did that back in the playoffs when they were there.
They threw playoff candidate. That's like a special occasion kind of thing they do that for. So,
they had, what else did they do? No, it's all a blur. I remember I had to put my sunglasses down because I started tearing up when they were doing
me too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You feel a little lump in your throat.
But yeah, it was an amazing weekend. It was
amazing. Yeah. Like, I feel like hype over it. It's when Vladdy came up to hit for the first time and you hear the MVP chants and you just, over the place, everyone's on their feet going nuts. Like, it was just,
it did.
It was really good.
You can definitely feel how the team is going to go ahead and get like a huge boost finally playing games at home, right? Like, it's so clear that there's going to be so much momentum from this.
Oh, absolutely. I said they took care of business against KC. I mean, they were in control every one of those games. There's never a moment where you thought they're not going to win this.
Like, no, not at all. Honestly felt for me on Friday, like even though there was the Friday game was pretty close, like they ended up winning the game 6-4. And I know at one point it was like 3-2. Kansas City was only behind by one run. It seemed like they had some guys on bases and they were kind of poking a little bit, but honestly, and then it just felt the whole weekend like they were going to sweep. Like, it didn't feel like they were going to lose any of these games.
It never once felt like they were threatened at all. Like, there was never one dicey moment where, oh, this could be it. No, not once. It was great.
So it's extremely good vibes around here. So we're going to jump into 3 Up, 3 Down, brought to you by Twig and Berries. As always, head over to twigandberries.ca and buy yourself some clothes, some underwear, some socks, all of this kind of stuff. 15% off with the promo code NATION15. As always, that's Twig and Berries. 3 Up, 3 Down. And since it's a sweep and since the vibes are very good, there's going to be no downs. We're just going to talk about the 3 Ups And the first up that I have was George Springer and his debut in Toronto. He's one of those handful of guys who is a big time Blue Jay now. They signed him to the huge contract last offseason, and he hasn't played a game yet in Toronto. And he made his debut on Friday, and it was a loud debut.
It was a very loud debut, yes. I think the Saturday game obviously was a little more memorable, hitting two big home runs. Like that first one was a bomb. Both of them were bombs, really, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think the first home run he hit, so he hit the leadoff home run on Saturday. And I think that was what, the 40th of his career?
Yeah, it was his 40th career leadoff home run. Yeah, I think he's the eighth person all time to hit 40 leadoff home runs. So that was a cool milestone to see. And it's, I think that whole Saturday game, two home runs on the leadoff spot, you're like, yeah, George Springer is a Blue Jay. Like it's just
he is.
That's kind of his sort of, I think, his kind of coming out party a little bit. He had just a tremendous weekend.
Yeah. Like he'd had some big games and some big dingers. I mean, I remember even between his two injured list stints, he had that I think it was a two homer game. One of them was that huge one that he just drilled. It was in Dunedin. But
The one that
felt like it was like at his eyes, and he still just crushed it out. But this really felt like his first huge game, or first like huge like series here. He went
huge series, because even on Sunday, they had two walks and a double. Like he's just producing from the leadoff spot. He's been unreal ever since Charlie put him up leadoff. Yeah. He's been incredible.
It does. It does feel like he's definitely gotten a spark batting leadoff and sparked the team. He went 3-for-4 in the first game with an RBI. And then in the second game, 2-for-4, 3 RBIs, the two dingers, like you mentioned. And then in the third game, Sunday, 1-for-3, a couple of walks. His OPS is now up to 951. It's like the cold George Springer we saw straight away when he came off the injured list is very clearly gone now.
Very clearly gone, yeah. And his defense has been good, too. We talked about it before, but that catch he made in the Mets series, like that defense center field has been awesome. He's been as advertised now that he's finally 100% healthy.
So what you love to see. And then for our second up, we have from Saturday's game, Alek Manoah making his first start in Toronto. Again, another one of those guys who, of course, has never pitched in Toronto. That was predictably amazing. I think we all kind of knew. I think we all hoped that the first game back was going to line up with a Manoah start. I know I did. Like a lot of people were like, oh, it would be cool if it was a Hyunjin Ryu start because, you know, he had his damn near Cy Young season last year, never got to pitch in Toronto. But I really wanted Alek Manoah pitching the first game because I thought he would have just like, it's kind of like Marcus Stroman, right? He would feed off that kind
of energy. He has that kind of big game mentality in him. You can see that when he pitches, like pitching in the Bronx, his first start ever. Now, first game in Toronto, he was under, honestly, I was a little concerned coming off the IL. How he was going to be, if he was going to be able to go deep in the game, how he was going to do, but hell, he crushed it. Like his stuff was disgusting.
It was outrageous. He went 7 innings, only allowed 2 hits, only allowed 1 walk. It was only the 4 strikeouts. So it wasn't as many strikeouts as we've come to expect from him, but he just had Kansas City look completely lost the whole game.
Oh, wow.
I didn't feel like they barreled up like a single ball the whole game.
No, I think at one point he retired 12 or 15 consecutive batters. Like it was, like they couldn't touch him. And it was quick, like, you know, 1-2 pitch, ground out, pop up. Like they couldn't square him up. They could barely make any sort of even contact off him.
It's amazing looking at Manoah's starts here. He's made 9 starts in the big leagues and he's got like an impressive resume of starts already. Like there was that first ever game against the Yankees, 6 innings, 2 hits. There was the one, I think it was in Boston, 6 innings, only 1 earned run. There was the really good one against Tampa Bay. That was 7 innings, 3 hits, 10 strikeouts. Now this one here. I mean, the Royals suck, but like still like coming off the injured list, you're facing a big league team. You have to deal with like that exciting atmosphere and calm yourself down. He just did it. He lived right up to the.
Oh, right up to it. Oh, totally. And it's like, yeah, sure, the Royals aren't the best team, but he was hitting corners. He was, you know, his slider was just moving, you know, across the whole plate. Like you can't ask any more out of Manoah. He was unreal.
Now, finally, for our third up, speaking of debuts, this was a hell of a debut. This was, this takes us back to 2015. The Jays went and paid a huge price to acquire a starter from the American League Central right ahead of the trade deadline. It was, of
course, they did.
Yeah, it was David Price last time. Price. This time it's Jose Berríos. And
yes, it was.
A lot of people were excited, but a lot of people were holy shit, that was like a huge price to pay. But he came in his first start, And like just shortly after being acquired, just 2 days later, he comes in, pitches 6 innings, allows 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. It seemed like he had a little bit of jitters at the beginning. I remember I came into the game about 10 minutes late and there was 2 guys on. And I thought, oh, geez. And then I was like, wait a minute. No, this is exactly how this is supposed to go, because it's exactly what happened to David Price. It's the exact same thing. And then he just shuts
it down. Yeah, that was the exact same thing. Yeah, the first 2 innings, he had given up like 4 hits in the walk. And I was like, what kind of walk? And I'm like, oh, he's a little shaky. Like, I don't know. This might not be his night. And then he settled down. His stuff was, again, really good. Get a ton of like swing and miss, ton of called strikes. Royals, again, 7 strikeouts. Couldn't touch him. He grinded his way through 6 and turned it over to the bullpen. And then with the new bullpen they have now, they're good. Like, they're good now.
It's actually, yeah, it's a completely new look bullpen now. I mean, like I was looking at the guys they have active and I'm like, holy shit. Like the bottom guy in this list now is Rafael Dolis.
Yeah. Yeah. Dolis has been not good this year, but he was pretty good last year. And like the next guy after that is probably Barucci. So your second worst guy in the bullpen. He's pretty good. That's like a pretty decent lefty. Like they've got now a bullpen full of guys who are MLB caliber arms, which they didn't have earlier in the year. And now it shows, you know, you don't get the same nerves in the 7th inning when you're only up,
no,
you know, 3 or 4 runs. You're like, oh crap, this is tight. No, it's like, okay, they're gonna lock this down.
And we haven't even seen we saw Brad Hand made his debut on Friday. He pitched 1 inning, allowed 2 hits. The Royals scored a run. I honestly, genuinely cannot remember how that happened because I was so drunk.
But so, yeah, I also don't remember either. I thought he was fine. He was a little shaky in the debut, but
so he's about to say, "Oh, we haven't seen Brad Hand yet." It's like, well, apparently we have.
No, he pitched on Friday. We just both forgot.
It was the 8th inning, and I was completely gone by
a little bit distracted.
So don't worry about me. Most of this information that I'm talking about is I have a very scattered memory. But no, what you do see here with the addition of Berríos is the rotation is strong now. I mean, this whole series, Kansas City scored 5 runs and they got 3 good starts. I mean, Stripling's start wasn't amazing. He went 5 1/3, pretty good. And then Manoah and Berríos back to back, 7 and 6 Gross. Innings of shutout. Like, wow.
Yeah, unreal. Like the starting rotation has been an issue and it seems to be locked down. I think Berríos is going to be great. He may not be a true like ace, but hot damn if he isn't a really good number two. Like I think he can be really, really good for them. Really, really good for the team. He fits exactly what they need. Say the price obviously I think was a little high and maybe we'll get into that, but this is what the team needs right now, and especially because he's got another year, like he'll be around next year as well. So this is a good piece for the team for what they're going for.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue because now that we're finished 3 up, 3 down, as always brought to you by Twig and Berries, I was going to jump into the section I have labeled as other stuff. And pretty much, honestly, the one key topic to touch on here is the price they paid to acquire this guy. I mean, a lot of people were kind of expecting the Jays to probably have a quiet deadline. Like, I personally thought we're going to see more moves like Adam Simber, Trevor Richards, where you're giving up not a hell of a lot and going and getting yourself a reliever who's maybe under control for 2 or 3 years that can help you now and in the future. But they came in and made a huge splash and traded, I think it was their number 2 and 4 prospects, according to MLB Pipeline. Both of them are top 100 guys. Austin Martin, the first round pick last year, 5th overall. Some people say he's the best all-around player from that draft. And then Simeon Woods Richardson, the minor league prospect they got back in the Marcus Stroman trade, who hasn't been that good this year, but is quite young for the level he's pitching. So it's two really good names, right? I mean, these are good prospects.
Oh, absolutely. I know when I was kind of following on Twitter when the trade broke, I heard Wood Richardson was the first name. I'm like, okay, that's probably fair. One top 100 prospect, you know, a good arm. That and maybe another smaller piece probably gets it done. That's what I thought. But then you had Martin. I was like, oh, whoa, that seems like a really, really – it seems like a big overpay. But it seems like maybe the Jays are maybe a little bit lower on Martin and Wood Richardson and the rest of the industry is, but hard to say. Looking at, like, you know, if you see 2 top 100 prospects, that kind of like almost a Max Scherzer type package or similar to what the Dodgers gave up, just looking at those kind of where they rank in prospect list kind of thing. But
yeah, I guess it's the reality when, I mean, it's a tough one to kind of wrap your head around. Like when I saw it at first, my heart kind of skipped a beat. I was like, oh geez, giving up Austin Martin. I kind of thought I really, really kind of hope that was the guy they weren't going to give up. He does seem to have like star upside. But also the other thing is Martin's received quite a bit of criticism this year, right? Like, I know Keith Law said, what was it, probably a couple weeks ago, that he doesn't look like he's ever going to hit for any kind of power because his swing is a mess.
Yeah, that's what I feel going through his stats too, is swinging percentage. I don't know the exact number, but it's under 400, which isn't good. Even in Double A, like, I kind of gave him a pass because, you know, it was his first year in professional baseball. He's in Double A. It's a lot going on with him. You know, he's 22. Like, he's older than Bo Bichette is. And he doesn't have a position. Like, is he a shortstop? Is he an outfielder? Is he third base? Like, he's kind of bouncing around the diamond, doesn't have a set spot. You know, what's the upside here? Is he going to get to the big leagues with no power? You don't see a lot of guys now. Is he going to be like, you know, Nicky Lopez, as we saw in the Royals, like a no power middle infielder? Like, maybe, but those guys aren't that valuable. Hopefully he can grow into some power, but if he grows into power and he's 25, 26, maybe you say, hey, we can get Barrios for him right now. Let's do that.
That's pretty much it too. I mean, like, you have to look at the Blue Jays, and a lot of people are saying, oh geez, like, you know, if you hold on to all these guys, then you'll be amazing eventually. Like, you're gonna have all these great players, but it's like, not everyone develops, right? And I mean,
no,
we think back to 2015, like, of all those guys that were traded away, who's the best one? Like Matt Boyd.
Yeah. What does he end up being? A number two, three starter on Detroit? Like, on a playoff team, he's probably your number four, number five, maybe. Like, he wasn't ever really that good.
Jeff Hoffman never came around. Dan Norris never did either.
No, the best player in those trades might have actually been Miguel Castro, who's made a pretty good reliever. He might be the best guy, but how valuable is a seventh inning reliever? Like, not super valuable, really. There's lots of those guys out there. Like,
but then also the same thing. Like, you can also make the counter argument, the R.A. Dickey trade, which is they lost Syndergaard and Travis d'Arnaud, and it's like, oh, geez, they're two guys you'd love to have. But honestly, at the end of the day, let's be serious here. Like, the Jays want to win now. They're, you know, they're in a great spot to win now. Like, despite the fact that they're, you know, like, three games out of a playoff spot, like 10 games or 9 games back of the division or whatever it is at this point, they're in a great spot to win right now. And, you know, they have Hyunjin Ryu. He's pitching pretty good. He might get worse as time goes along. George Springer, like, he's over 30. He's not getting better every year. You have Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien. Now you have Vlad Jr. having perhaps the best season he might ever have in his career for dirt cheap too. Bo and Vlad, they're going to become expensive very soon. And once they are, it's not going to be as easy to go out and get guys. So yeah, it does kind of suck. It does seem like they overpaid, but they got to do this right now. They really do.
Yep. No, I agree 100%. I mean, it's this year, you know, they're going to be in the race. And I think for this team too, there's a lot of value to contending, even if they don't end up making the playoffs. There's a lot of value in getting Bo and Vladdy real pennant race experience. Like, these young guys, you've got to be your core. They haven't really had that kind of playoff run. I mean, they made the playoffs in the shortened season, but that wasn't really a real pennant race. They're
totally different.
They're going to be in the mix, and whether they fall short of it or whatever, there's a ton of value in having those big games down the stretch. And I think this is a good sign from the front office that, hey, we have your back. We see that you guys have put the work in, especially Vladdy. Like, he put the work in, did everything he could to put himself into becoming the monster hitter we thought he could. The front office owes it to him. Say, hey, man, we got your back. We're here. Here's a piece that can help you out. And, you know, he's here for next year. Next year could be the window. Maybe they make another move in the offseason. And who knows? But they're trying, which is great to see. Great for the fans. Great for everybody.
Especially the fans. That's another one. And I think this is one thing we don't necessarily consider when we view sports and transactions and front office decisions in a vacuum. We see, oh, geez, like the front office overpaid to acquire this guy. They're probably not the best opportunity to do so right now because the AL is really deep. The East is especially deep this year. This is bad timing. They should have just waited. But also, like, you forget, like, this is an entertainment business. We just went like a year and a half without being able to attend games in Toronto. And now the team is coming back and they're pretty good. They're a flawed team, but they're pretty good. And the fans want to see a team win. And the, you know, Rogers wants to sell tickets. They can only sell for 15,000 fans each game. And they want every single game to have 15,000 people. And you do that by winning. You do that by adding a big pitcher at the deadline that makes your team better.
Absolutely. And I think that would have been one hell of a punch in the face if you came back and, oh yeah, hey, your ace Robbie Ray's gone, send me in your all-star that you like, gone, to go welcome home, guys, the team sucks now. That would have been devastating, that would have been terrible. You would have
stay
just
in Buffalo at that point.
Like, literally, like what the hell. That would have been just devastating. And I think that would have been just giving the wrong message from the front office. Like, sure, you might lose send me and Ray for nothing in the or nothing, you might get a comp pick for them in the offseason, but you got to show the fans, you got to show the players in the club. Like, we could have easily had a Seattle situation. if you know, they say, hey, Vladdy, sorry, you've had this great year, but we're going to dump all the core pieces or surrounding pieces around you are gone now. And that would have rubbed the clubhouse the wrong way, fans the wrong way. This would have been bad. So I'm really happy they went out and made a couple moves to help improve the team.
Yeah, no, I'm on the exact same page. And the players are like very clearly excited about it. Like their whole vibe all weekend, it was just, you know, like funny videos from the Jays official account. Guys are dancing. They're wearing this blue jacket now.
Yeah, yeah. But how great is it today? I don't know. I saw a little bit of highlights on TV or whatever, but Vladdy was like, you know, taped up on the bench and he's doing the wave with the crowd. Like he's having a great time. Even if he's not playing, he's still out there messing around. He's the first guy to jump up and, you know, hand out this home run jacket they're doing. And just like, everyone's loving it. Like the players, fans, everybody. It's awesome.
Yeah. Everyone's having a blast and the vibes are immaculate. And I guess that'll take us into our next and final segment, which is the up next segment brought to you by DoorDash. Promo code BJNPODD gets first time users of the DoorDash app 25% off and no delivery fees. So if you've never used DoorDash, go ahead and download it and buy yourself something nice and use that. Get 25% off, save on some food. Don't do any cooking. You don't want to. You want to order some food. Anyway, so up next, we have another team from the American League Central Division, another team that the Jays have lost to in the American Championship Series. The Cleveland Guardians.
Cleveland Guardians,
the fuck that means. I don't know why they're called that, but...
I don't know. My vote was for the Cleveland Spiders, but...
I've never been for the Cleveland Spiders. I hate that.
I love that. I love the Spiders.
I just personally am, like, absolutely terrified of spiders, so I just, like, couldn't imagine being comfortable with, like, anything they could do with spiders, like what their vibe would be, their mascot would be, or what they'd
do. Oh, that's fair enough. Yeah, that could have been pretty creepy for a lot of people. That would have been just not so good,
like,
but...
Like around the stadium, they have like those, you know, those things where they put, you know, shooting images and shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah. There's a giant spider.
And spiders walking around. Everyone's freaking out. Had a few too many drinks and just look up and see a large spider and have a panic attack.
But, they drive away. The 10 fans that come to Cleveland games or whatever.
But yeah, so the Cleveland Guardians, I'd say it's better than the name they did have. It's still a stupid name, but at least it's not racist, which is a positive.
Yes.
Good for them,
yes.
I guess.
Good for them, yes, yes.
So about time. Anyways, Cleveland, they are not very good. They are kind of in the midst of this wild card race, I think. They've kind of fallen off a cliff recently. They're 51-50 right now. They're a little bit back of the Jays. It looks like they're just kind of going to implode. They didn't really do anything at the deadline, didn't try and make themselves better. They front office seems very disinterested in winning.
Yeah, so, they also didn't make themselves any worse either. Like, there's a lot of buzz about Jose Ramirez might go somewhere and he stayed put. I don't know who else, like, I don't know who else is on the roster they could have got rid of, but it seemed like they didn't even really, maybe they traded Eddie Rosario, I think, got dealt, but no one like major really. So
no, not at all. And yeah, because I remember they did those interesting hybrid sell moves the past couple of years. I think they were in a playoff spot in 2019 and they might have been right in the mix of a playoff spot, maybe behind Minnesota, I think it was. It's so hard to think about these teams. They're all the same. But
yeah, right.
and they sold Trevor Bauer, I think it was. Yeah, that was it. They sold Bauer in the midst of a very good season. They got Yasiel Puig back. It was a really weird trade.
Then they traded Mike Clevenger away too.
Yeah, everyone to San Diego.
Yeah, to San Diego. Yeah, which is just another kind of...
I don't know what they're doing. They're weird. But
they're a little weird, yeah, but they're coming in.
They are. They're coming in four games, and they're not very good. And the Jays are in a pretty decent spot because the two good things about this team is Shane Bieber and Aaron Civale. Those are two very good starters. Both of them are on the 60-day injured list right now.
Yeah.
So Cleveland's pitching rotation is not as impressive as it would be.
No, absolutely not. No, it's a lot. Yeah, missing Bieber is huge. That's like he's one of the best couple starters in the game.
But you look at like this lineup, it's pretty bleak. I mean, there's Franmil Reyes has been the best hitter. He's got a 934 OPS. Jose Ramirez has been good too, as he always is, 867 OPS. And after that, I mean, it's a whole bunch of young guys who just aren't really great. And another guy that I see here, which is kind of hilarious, is Harold Ramirez, the former
Blue Jay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's there. That guy's
yeah, he's one of their regulars. Yeah, at this point.
He's their one of their everyday outfielders, it appears.
Right. Wow.
Interesting. So
they're very interesting. Very interesting.
What's our expectation for this series? Do we think the Jays are going to run the floor and just sweep them like they did Kansas City? That's the expectation.
I want to say yes. It's always hard to predict a sweep, but I mean the way they're playing, I think they could easily take all three of these games, no problem. Like I don't see why they couldn't, especially say They have Ryu pitching one of the games for sure. But, I mean, you should win that game. But, I mean, the offense is can put up, you know, 4 or 5 runs a game. That should be enough to win, especially against Cleveland. Their offense isn't that good. I mean, you got to worry about Freimel taking it deep, and you got to worry about Ramirez obviously being really good. But outside of that, you don't have a lot to worry about offensively. You can be, whether the pitching does well or not, you should be able to outscore these guys, no problem.
Yeah, it's a 4-gamer, so we're going to see everybody except for Barrios. I think it's going to go Ray, Ryu, and then actually another thing, I completely forgot about this. I completely spaced on this, but are they doing a 6-man rotation now with Barrios here? What's the plan there? Because I haven't seen anything talked about. Is Steve Matt still in the rotation? Are they going to take Stripling out, or what's the play?
Yeah, I don't actually know what their plan is. I think I heard some like rumblings they might do a 6-man rotation, but I don't think you should, honestly. I would move Matt to the bullpen, make him your long guy. He hasn't really been that sharp recently, especially. I know Stripling's got that bullpen experience, he's pitched to the pen in the past, but he's been still really good. Like that tough start was against Boston recently where he's not that good, but he bounced back against KC. I think you keep running him out there until he shows that, you know, he has 2, 3, 4 bad starts in a row.
Yeah. I don't mind the idea of them using a spot starter here or there. Like if you put Matt's in the pen and keep him stretched out to be your long guy, if you have, because I know they have a couple of doubleheaders coming up. They do the doubleheader at home against Boston on Saturday, and then right away they're going to the West Coast and playing the Angels in Anaheim.
That's right.
One of those games are the home team, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, and it's then, weird, but no, but that's it's two doubleheaders in a span of 4 days. So
yeah,
you're gonna probably Matt will get a start. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so Matt will definitely get some starts, and I think I'd want to, you know, kind of play and see how it goes, right? If Matt pitches well in one of those games, maybe give him another shot. He roll 6-man. If he struggles again, you maybe say, hey, thanks, but you're going to the pen now. Like, they're at the point they got to win games. It's, you know, this isn't the tri league. It's you get it done league. So
that's right. That's
if Matt isn't getting it done, then you got to send him to the pen, right? Like, it's that easy.
Like, we're not going to sit here and have Robbie Ray, who's in contention for Cy Young votes, or Alek Manoah, who's in contention for Rookie of the Year votes, miss a day and, you know, have fewer starts just because we need to give Steven Matz a start.
Or Jose Barrios, so you just traded for. Yeah, you need that guy starting as many times as possible for you, and that's every fifth day. Like, you got to be running those guys out there.
Well, that's pretty much it. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting thing to watch, but I think it's a good problem to have. It's much better than what we had earlier this year.
Absolutely, no more Tommy Malone bullpen days anymore. At least get some, you know, it's nice when you can have a Steven Matz just start doing a double header kind of thing. Now you got some, you know, real starter depth, real pitching depth, bullpen depth, everything's...
Yeah, it's all coming together.
Looking good.
Good. We're in a much better situation than watching Trent Thornton pitch 2 innings and then Anthony Kay pitch 2 innings and then the next day Tommy Malone starting. Like you said, that's a mess. Our TJ Zoik is starting. we're a ways away from that. We have 6 major league starters in the mix. That's fantastic. Another thing is Nate Pearson might be up soon as a reliever. They've made it clear that he's not going to be starting. So that's another thing. It's, I mean, they have a lot of guys on this roster. Like, how are they going to find room for everybody? Like, who's going down next?
I don't know. I mean, we were talking about Dolis maybe being the low man on the pen. I don't know if...
Because Chatwood just got DFA'd over the weekend to make room for
Brios
in the 40-man.
Yeah, so hey, maybe if Dolis keeps showing, maybe he's the next one to go. I don't know who else they can even send down.
Barucci probably has options. He might be able to go down now that there's more lefties in the mix. I mean, yeah, that's a tough one. And then another one here is Corey Dickerson's going to be back right away. Not right away, but
I think when Dickerson comes back, they'll just DFA or get rid of Brady Valera.
Yeah, that would make sense. You're right.
Because Jonathan Davis got...
I forgot that he was
there. I know, I was right even there. Like, but they DFA'd Jonathan Davis too, which is kind of surprising, but... Because in Valley, they don't have a spare outfielder. So to get Dickerson back, you can get rid of Valera. And that'll be nice. And then, you know, Dickerson can start like, a lot against righties.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Yeah, that's true. It's going to be quite a squeeze because if Julian Merriweather ever comes back.
That would be great if he ever came back. And then, But I mean, even by then, you never know, right? Like, who knows if someone gets hurt or something.
I'm looking up and down at the 40 right now and who's in the minors and who's next in line to get DFA'd. And it's not easy to like figure out who that might be. Like you said, okay. So Dickerson comes back, Valera's gone. That's an easy one for one. But what happens when when Merriweather comes back, like, who's the next guy to go? And I'm looking names in the minors for pitchers right now. Down are Thomas Hatch, Anthony Kay, Elvis Luciano, Patrick Murphy, Nate Pearson, Tyler Cicedo, Kirby Snead, Trent Thornton. Like, who's it going to be? Like, who do you DFA from that list?
Yeah, that's really tough. I'm sitting there looking. I don't know if you see if you can sneak Kirby Snead through waivers. Maybe we can get him up to 40.
Josh Palacios.
Yeah, Palacio. Oh, I forgot Palacios is even on the 40.
Yeah,
maybe something like that. You see if you can squeak one of those younger guys, or not younger, one of those kind of mid-age guys, mid-20s guys, see if you can squeak them through waivers. I can't imagine the demand is high for Kirby Snead, but maybe it is. Who knows? Maybe like Ty Tice got able to move him, so maybe there's a market for Snead. But
yeah, if you're a big fan of roster transactions and roster moves and decisions, then this is going to be like a few weeks for you. It's going to be exciting times. We're looking at the back end of the 40-man roster, being like, oh boy, is it going to be Kirby Snead?
Yeah, no, we're digging deep here. But
these are things you care about if you're a real nerd.
Absolutely, yeah. No, these things have a way of sorting themselves out. Like, someone will get hurt, something will happen, and it'll all be fine.
It always is. Yeah. Anyway, so Cleveland for four games. We're feeling pretty good about it. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything else from the weekend you saw that you enjoyed particularly?
Not too much. I thought everything was really good. Not that the Jays crew did a good job. The video, everything seemed to go really well. I was awesome. The fans seemed to like it. Everything seemed to go. Everything was just a big party. It was a lot of fun. It was really nice to be down there and just have baseball back. It was incredible. It was so awesome.
I'm just hoping the team continues to, we just have like an August, September of 2015 stretch here. We started August with a big series against Kansas City. They did that in 2015 as well. The patterns are aligning.
It's aligning out.
It's all adding up, right? Great yeah. Run differential, mediocre team, acquired pitcher, series against Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's all adding up. This is very exciting stuff. That means they're going to lose in the American.
5-5 this month. Let's do it.
that means they're going to run the table the rest of August and into September as well. They're going to win the division, and they're going to lose in the ALCS to the White Sox. As it has to be. It is the pattern. It is what it is.
You know what? If they make the ALCS, well, that'll be okay. I'll take that.
There you go. That's the bold prediction right now. The Jays are winning the East. They're losing the White Sox in the CS. It is what it is. That's my crystal ball prediction.
There you go.
Happy with it? Fine with it?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, buy the shirt. Yeah. Get the shirt.
Right. That's right. Paul's got on the Vladdy 27. That's right. Shirt, the Blue Jays Nation shirt. You can find it. It gets tweeted out like every single day. So honestly, just go on the Twitter and look for the That's Right T-shirt. It's a cool looking shirt. That's pretty sharp. Honestly, I got to get myself one. It's too bad I didn't have one to wear to the game. that would have made some sense. But
a lot. That would have been good. No, it's a good shirt.
Too much planning for me. Yeah, go ahead. Go and buy it. It's a nice shirt. Anyways, thank you, Paul, for joining me. That was great. I hope you had a great weekend. I know you did. Enjoy the games this week. Let's beat the shit out of Cleveland.
Let's do it.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.